Hello and welcome to another episode of Tech Enthusiast. I'm one of your hosts, Neil.
And I'm Simon. This week there's been a huge amount of tech news, a lot revolving around mobile phones, but we're definitely going to have to touch on Windows 10.
Yeah.
A massive release, a new operating system from Microsoft can never be ignored. I suppose my biggest problem is I'm almost approaching post-desktop now.
Yeah.
I do own a desktop. Am I going to install Windows 10 on it? It would mean installing Parallels just to put on Windows 10.
Because she was a Mac user.
I am a Mac user. And I can't imagine having to get used to a new OS from an accessibility standpoint.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a huge, steep learning curve for me. But there is some very interesting features. And they are attempting to do accessibility across the board, across all devices like Apple do.
Yeah, which would be awesome.
It would, you know, that unified experience across all platforms is key, and that's why I've stayed in the Apple ecosystem for as long as I have, because it's unified. I do really like the fact Cortana's built into the operating system now.
And supposed to be pretty decent by all accounts.
Yeah, Cortana, because I was really looking forward to picking up the Amazon Echo
which is supposed to be fantastic.
Yeah, the Amazon sale day.
Yeah.
I just assumed it was out with the UK.
I read as well that you can't even use it in the UK.
Oh, because, so it knows.
Yeah, because the app, you need to download an app to use it, and the app isn't available in the UK App Store, and apparently even if you use a US account to download the app...
You need a VPN to make it like in America.
Yeah, it won't work still.
We're getting beyond this in technology, surely, where...
You'd think, wouldn't you?
Cause did you see that they're trying to block or put an end to... geo-fencing for the EU.
Oh, right.
So the entire of the EU is going to be classed as one zone.
Right.
Rather than UK for hydrogen.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're trying to remove the geo-fencing.
Hmm.
So that could be... Then that opens up a big thing for pricing.
Yeah, definitely.
Sales tax varies so much in the EU from 20% to zero.
I've said for... Well, since... This is showing my age, but since they introduced the euro, I was always like, well, how is this going to work properly unless it's a unified economy, which...
Well, they keep on talking about moving towards that, but interesting point, bit of a digress. We'll digress a lot.
We have a little bit, yeah.
But I was talking to a friend the other day, and she wanted to pick up... Oh, this might ruin it. Hopefully she doesn't listen. They wanted to... I will mention no names, keep it as loose as possible... They wanted to pick up a really special watch.
Right.
They wanted an Omega. That's why I said, don't buy it in the UK.
Yeah.
Get on a plane.
Yeah.
Fly to Geneva. Buy the watch. Fly back. It'll be cheaper.
Yeah.
Than going down the high street and buying it.
Which is just crazy. Getting on a plane to go and buy something to make it cheaper is ridiculous.
Well, you can have a day in Geneva as well.
Well, yeah.
Eat some chocolate.
Stroll around.
Yeah, it's an expensive city, though, so I'd recommend you don't do anything else but buy the watch. Look at some supercars.
Coffee.
Do you know, coffee? Oh. Yeah. We're talking
This is a crazy digression.
I know. We're doing like €8 for a coffee. I bet if we loaded up that app, you know, that tells you... how expensive it is in different cities.
Oh, yeah.
Geneva is honestly obscene.
Yeah.
It's so, so expensive. So what are we talking about?
Watch.
What? Windows... Windows 10.
Somewhere along the line, Windows 10.
Yeah. So the start menu's back.
Yep.
I think we all love this. I love the start. I can remember...
It's so useful.
The Windows 95 commercial that introduced the start menu.
Oh, wow.
Because it used to be the song, start it up. And I wanted it so bad.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, you press start and this thing opens up and you can click on the app you want to run.
Crazy.
Revolutionary. And then I went and got rid of it. Why get rid of it? It was so great. So accessible.
Yeah.
I mentioned my mum a lot on these podcasts, but my mum has Windows 8 and she just screams at the laptop.
I mean, I consider myself fairly tech savvy, and I initially found Windows 8 pretty confusing. Things just don't work the way you'd want to. Things pull you out of... You're trying to do something, you open a PDF, all of a sudden you're in this full screen app
PDF.
Well,
I've got rid of that now.
Yeah, exactly.
You can now, you can sort of handle the full screen a little bit better.
Yeah.
You can handle full screen like you could in older versions of Windows. Yeah. But everyone's saying great things about it.
Yeah, it's getting a lot of positive buzz, and people who I've heard talking about it, who've been on the preview program for it for a long time, have said there's been no issues all the way along the line from when they joined. So
yeah. People are saying best version of Windows ever.
Yeah.
So that's impressive. Yeah. You know, they've gone through, personally for me, my favourite version was Windows 2000.
Yeah.
Although XP was good just because it was around for so long.
Yeah.
It was around for so long. But yeah. I like the stripped down look of 2000, but you couldn't make XP look like 2000. Anyway. Yeah. Great reviews, and I'm trying to think of some of the other standout features. I kind of like the hello feature where you can log in with your face rather than having to type in a complicated password.
Yeah, and they're trying to reintroduce gaming as a Windows thing, aren't they, with the crossover with Xbox?
Yeah, because it can do... Currently, can it do Xbox to Windows,
yeah.
But hopefully they're going to do Windows 10...
to Xbox,
which probably puts the Steam machine in jeopardy a little bit. Because now you can have this powerful box that can sit wherever and stream to your TV, control it with, which is perhaps arguably one of the best controllers for a games console.
Well, people say the PS4 controller is better than the Xbox One, but there's not much in it.
It's a good pad.
Yeah.
It's definitely better than any aftermarket
game controller
you're going to get for a PC, isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, they you can already stream content from your mobile phone or your tablet or whatever, or your laptop, kind of Google Chrome style, to the Xbox. There's a special app for that, so it's not a massive leap for the gaming, really.
So I wonder if we're going to see a mobile phone running Windows 10, because right now I don't think any mobile phones do.
No.
So that's going
to
mean
Nokia is starting to do Android phones.
Yeah.
So yeah,
they bought Nokia for the handset division. Microsoft did. So there must be something on the horizon. But I think I was reading an article today that was suggesting that because it is a post-desktop era, can Microsoft really gain enough ground with Windows 10 to make up what they've lost in the past. It's going to be tough, but I do like an underdog, and I do want Microsoft to have a bit of a research. It's, let's face it, if you look how much the company's still worth, it's not
it's not going anywhere, is it?
They're not struggling.
No.
They're not struggling to make ends meet. They're doing pretty well.
They are kind of reaching out into weird little markets that you wouldn't expect. Did you see they released an Android launcher app?
Yes. I assume that was to get Cortana in there.
Yeah. But yeah, they do keep... Every once in a while, and it was a real kind of... Nobody saw it coming, it just appeared. But they do keep kind of reaching out into kind of other markets, other devices, and just trying to put stuff out there.
Getting their services on every platform. So if you can get enough of the experience onto Android, and then they do release a Windows phone, that would perhaps ease the transition.
Yeah, definitely.
So you're going to a Windows phone for your next... phone rather than staying in the Android
ecosystem. I did quite like Windows Phone. I had a bit of a soft spot for Windows Phone.
There's no
I
apps.
No, that was the
problem.
Yeah, I did have a couple of Windows phones on a loaner just to try out. And I really, really liked the way they worked, the way they handled, the way the operating system worked. But it was literally, I was coming from an iPhone where I'd got every app ever possible. And going onto Windows Phone, just being like, there's no version of the app that I use. There's no equivalent version of the app that I use. What am I... Yeah, I'm just lacking loads of apps.
Yeah, when there's massive holes in the experience,
you
can't use the phone like you used to. So then, instantly, bad experience.
Yeah. As far as Windows 10 goes, I have got a Windows laptop, so there's no point in not upgrading to Windows 10. So
yeah, well, you'll be able to check out Edge.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to having a little play around with it. I don't use, like you say, post-desktop. You know, I don't use my laptop very much. I've got an iPad. I've got an Android phone. I tend to use those things day to day. The laptop gets cracked out every, like, maybe twice a week. But, I'm looking forward to having a bit of a poke around and seeing what's there.
Yeah. I think if I was still really into the desktop experience, I might give it a shot, but...
And I guess PC gaming is a lot bigger than it has been over the last 5 years or so. So it's going to be a boon there.
Oh, there's so many high-end graphics cards
Yeah.
coming out at the minute. yeah, it is becoming a big, big industry again.
Yeah. There's different use cases for everything, isn't there? So there's obviously still a big demand for it.
Well, they've got to sort of sort out the enterprise thing, because the amount of people that probably still run an XP in the enterprise.
Yeah.
And there needs to be an upgrade path.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's no free upgrade from XP.
No.
You needed 7.
Yeah.
But I'm sure the enterprise can afford the upgrade cost to go to Windows 10.
They're going to have to, aren't they? Mind you, I mean, yeah, I'm on Windows 7 at work.
Do you know what? Last year, I was talking to, let me get this right, KPMG.
Right.
You know, one of the massive consultancy firms.
Yeah.
They were still running XP.
Wow.
So internally, they were running XP, but their IT and products team had to go out and push all this cutting edge tech, saying, oh, yeah, it's going to make your company so much better, so much more efficient. I'm thinking, well, hang on a minute. You guys are running really old software and you're using XP.
Don't have to practice what you preach, Simon.
Well, I'm just wondering how efficient KPMG actually is. If this new software would make you more efficient, why aren't they using it?
Yeah.
I think you get too big, don't you?
Yeah.
That's a problem. Once you're too big,
it's very expensive to.
Hard to upgrade as well. You'll have so much legacy software that you don't really want to upgrade, or may not even exist on your version, so you're stuck with old versions. But mobile phones, Neil.
Mobile
phones. How many mobile phone announcements?
They are everywhere. Everybody has them.
I think the hardest thing is trying to decide which of the new flagship killers is the one to buy.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to try and pick up the OnePlus 2 and one of the Moto X's.
Yeah.
Be it the Style or the Play. But all three phones, incredible specs.
Unbelievable. I mean, being a OnePlus 1 user already, I'm drooling over the OnePlus 2. I can't wait. So, but the Moto phones have always been really, really well. Last couple of years, at least, they've all been really, really nice phones.
The Moto G was the best entry point to Android, I always thought. It was so cheap. If you weren't doing demanding tasks on it, you did everything.
Well, I bought a Moto E as a little phone to last me a couple of months. And that was literally the phone that made me turn away from Apple. Because prior to that, I'd had iPhones. My iPhone died. It was a couple of months till the new iPhone came out. So I went onto a Moto E for a couple of months. And I was like, right, okay, this is actually really good. And it's a totally basic phone for Android.
Yeah.
But it got me bitten with the Android bug.
It was a basic version of Android, though, wasn't it? So it actually run quite quick. So then the G was the one up from the E.
Yeah.
Because it went EGX.
Yeah.
And yeah, the G, it was great. We used the G as well. Away in America,
because
it was dual SIM, pretty much a disposable phone. If you smashed it, oh, buy another one.
Yeah.
If you smash your iPhone, you're like, oh, well.
Yeah.
Be a while till I can get another one then. But maybe we should. Have you got the specs?
I've got some of the specs here. What do you want to go with?
Have we got the one? Let's start with the OnePlus 2, because the OnePlus 2 is probably the highest spec of the bunch, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, so like we say, it's dual SIM. It's got a fingerprint sensor this time around, which it didn't have last time.
I actually read why that fingerprint scanner is so fast.
All right.
Because everyone's saying it's quicker than Apple's.
Yes.
And this is a pedantic point.
Okay.
The marketing, it is true, it is faster.
Right.
But the reason is it's always turned on.
Oh.
Whereas for the Apple Touch ID to work, you have to click home.
Right.
And then it scans your finger. Whereas they've made that always turned on, so as soon as you put your finger on it, it scans at you in. So it is quicker than the iPhone because they've removed that extra step.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a very clever way
to
make it quicker.
Okay. The phone stays the same size. It's 5.5 inches, which for me is perfect. I've got huge hands. Last time around, the OnePlus One came with Cyanogen Mod, which a lot of people liked because of its customizability. They've now got their own operating system called Oxygen, which is it's an Android base with a couple of tweaks, basically.
It's probably a good. Well, I know they were forced into this decision.
Yeah,
but running a stock version of Android with very little modifications.
Yeah.
It's going to be quicker.
Yeah.
It's going to be easier to update. So when Google releases an update, they're going to be able to apply the update to the system quicker rather than waiting for the latest version of CyanogenMod.
I mean, I've not had many problems with CyanogenMod. I've literally had one app that I use on a regular basis that doesn't work on CyanogenMod, and that's been a bit disappointing.
Yeah,
but other than that, but other than that, it's been fine. So if it's even closer to Android than pure Android, then hopefully that app will work. okay, so on top of that, there's the 16 gig model. They had 16 gig and 64 gig models with the OnePlus One, but the 16 gig model for the OnePlus Two has got 3 gig of RAM. The 64 gig has got 4 gig of RAM.
Yeah, when you compare those specs to the iPhone 6, 1 gig of RAM.
Yeah.
1 gig of RAM.
Which is crazy.
But it's hard to make a direct hardware comparison
with
an iPhone versus Android.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I've got such tight control over software and hardware.
Yeah.
Don't need to be as powerful to make it quick. But that's a lot of RAM compared to the iPhone.
Yeah. There's been a lot of talk about the CPU. It's got a Snapdragon 810, 810, if you're American, I guess you'd say. But some people saying that it's overpowered and that it's going to drain battery too quick is what I've been seeing in forums and stuff.
It's got quite a large battery.
It has got quite a large battery.
It's got like 3,000.
I think it's 3,300.
3,300?
Yeah, I think the OnePlus One was 3,100.
Wow, 3,000, that's a big battery.
Yeah, which is cool. And then the camera, there was a lot of rumours that it was going to be a 16 megapixel camera. It's remained 13 megapixel, but they're saying it's got a way better sensor and it's got laser focus.
Is the race for larger megapixels, when you're not increasing the sensor size, it does not improve pitch quality. So if they've increased the sensor size but kept the megapixels the same, the camera improvement should be very high.
Yeah.
It really should.
Which is cool. And there was another point. There's a physical switch on the side this time.
The notification switch.
Yeah.
Oh,
which,
that sounds really cool.
Yeah, that's something that exists in the tray when you pull down from the top. Because I've used it when I go to the cinema and put it so that no alerts come through.
Yeah.
But now it's a physical switch, 3-position switch on the side, so you
so
can
it's
customize
normal priority and off and, for notifications.
Yeah, it's like all notifications, priority notifications, and none.
So is priority set within at the OS level?
Yeah, you can pick which apps you want to be priority apps. So that's pretty awesome.
Oh, and the camera can record 4K video as well, can it?
I think so. I was under the impression the OnePlus One could.
But the OnePlus, I'm sure it can on the OnePlus Two. The OnePlus.
So yeah, it's.
I'll tell you one of the coolest things that I thought about the camera.
Yeah.
Anywhere within the OS, you can just draw a circle on the screen with your thumb.
Yeah.
Launch the camera app.
Yeah.
So
I
if
read
you're
that
out
yesterday.
And about and you're walking, and you want to take a quick snap.
Yeah.
The number of clicks and gestures has been
reduced to one
is that's nearly as good as having a physical camera button.
Yeah, I was impressed with that.
Because I'm amazed that at the OS level now, Google haven't created like a custom gesture tool.
Yeah.
Where you combined gestures to actions on the phone. That would be so useful for everyone.
Yeah, definitely.
I can't it must be something to do with the fact that Android's made for lots of different screens.
Yeah.
And some screens maybe would struggle with different gestures. Or
maybe.
I just can't think of a good reason why you wouldn't do it.
No, I can't particularly. And the other one little bit, the OnePlus One had this to a certain extent as well. The capacitive buttons at the bottom are there, and you could have the option between having them the active capacitive buttons on the bottom of the phone or on screen buttons. You've got the same this time as well. However, they're saying that the two capacitive buttons are really, really, like, you can customise what they do.
Really?
Yeah.
So you can make them launch an app?
Yeah.
Oh, again, so you could have quick access to camera and two dedicated apps.
Yeah. Which is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. That's you missed off the most important thing, Neil.
Go on.
It uses USB-C.
Oh, yeah, completely forgot. Yeah, USB-C.
You know, one of the really underrated things about having an iPhone is the reversible cable.
Yeah.
Because no matter how many times you try, you always get it wrong the first time with the USB cable.
Yeah, God, definitely.
All the way around.
Pain of it. Or you get it the right way around, but it feels like it's the wrong way around. Yeah, you're in the wrong angle. Yeah. So you spin it, and then that's wrong, and then you have to spin it back again.
So reversible cables.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's a dream come true when you it works.
Yeah.
What's the thickness on the phone? Because people get paranoid about the thickness and the weight, don't they?
Yeah, well, obviously, it's like a massive brick.
Actually, I know this. It's a massive 2 millimeters thicker.
2 millimeters
than the
thicker.
iPhone 6.
It weighs 175 grams.
Really? That's more than the MacBook Play.
Really?
Yeah.
It's teeny tiny, basically. 9.9 millimeters thick.
Yeah, I was reading something that was suggesting that, it's really thick, it's 2 millimeters thicker than the iPhone 6.
Who cares?
I would happily take the extra 2 millimeters.
Yes. Yeah.
Because if we're actually talking real world now, I carry an iPhone 6 around with me. Because the battery runs out so quick, I also carry around an external battery that is 7.5 millimeters thick. So if we stick that on the back of the iPhone, we're now to a phone that's roughly 15 mils thick.
Yeah.
So that's how thick it is to use my phone all day.
Yeah. I think we briefly touched on this last week, but give me a thicker phone that has a bigger battery.
Well, the Moto X Play is, I think it's thicker than that, and you get the 3600 mAh battery, which is supposedly 48 hours on the Moto X Play. 48 hours of use is crazy. Are you trying to find the thickness of the MacBook Play now?
I'm trying to find the thickness, yeah. Yeah, it is. It's 10.9 millimetres.
10.9. So, it's just over a centimetre. But 48 hours usage is
That is
incredible.
A huge battery. I mean, we were just saying that the OnePlus 2 one was huge, but that's even bigger.
Yeah, I'm drawn to the Moto X Play just for the battery.
Yeah.
Because I'll be using the Android as my secondary phone.
Yeah.
So you never charge your secondary phone as much as you do your primary.
Well, I wouldn't know, Simon.
No, you don't. So, so the fact that the battery lasted that long, if I forgot to charge it for a day or so, it wouldn't even be a problem.
Yeah,
but I do like reversible cables, so maybe I'd want the OnePlus 2 just so I've got the reversible cable.
There is obviously the thing as well with the OnePlus 2 that you need to have an invite in order to be able to buy it, but they are saying that there's going to be a hell of a lot more invitations.
I'm hugely hopeful this time around.
Yeah.
It was banned around 50 times the stock on launch day.
Yeah.
So even if you put a low figure on their stock levels for the OnePlus 1 at 2,000.
Yeah.
That's £100,000.
Yeah.
So if you're somewhere in the top quarter of a million, surely you're going to get an invite within a month or so.
Hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
And right now I'm in double digit thousands.
Me too.
So.
And I've got the advantage of having already got a OnePlus One, and hopefully people have asked the question, are OnePlus One owners going to get an invite early? And they've been a little bit shady about it, but they're kind of hinting at
They're talking about getting things early. Another digression. Cause I'm a big fan of the Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
When that was backed, by the community, the deal was you'll get it first.
Right.
But then they had to sign a contract with the distributors to actually get the Raspberry Pi out there. And obviously, it's only going to be a success if you have distributors. If you don't have a distributor, you're going to struggle.
Definitely.
And the deal from the distributor was you've got to cut off the community. We get it first.
It's gross.
That is brutal.
Yeah.
But thankfully, there was a little bit of an uproar, but I think the community thought, well, we want this product to be a success.
Yeah.
We'll get bumped a little bit further down the queue, but we still get the pie. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, hopefully they'll prioritise you guys, and then you can give me an invite.
Yeah, definitely.
And I can have that phone.
Yeah. And the same... Because previously with the OnePlus One, you got invites, but you didn't know when you were going to get them. They'd just pop up at some point. And there was a couple of times I got invites. I didn't even know I got them till a day later because I'd not seen the email. But I believe
it's still 24 hours only.
Yeah, 24 hours. So if you don't buy it, you're stuffed.
Because I can remember you offering me an invite.
Yeah.
and I just didn't have much money that month. I was like, no. Yeah. And I just decided not to get it. And it was just because on that day the invite arrived, I just didn't have any money.
But they are saying that owners will get invites a lot quicker this time again. So fingers crossed. They seem to not say something unless they're going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's definitely a positive thing. Like you said, there's going to be a hell of a lot more phones out there this time than last time.
A huge amount last time. But I think, as excited as I'm about the OnePlus 2, I think I'm more excited about the new Motorolas.
Yeah.
Just because it's mainstream. We didn't even mention the price of the OnePlus 1, did we?
No.
The price. Okay, the price is very impressive.
Yeah, the 64 gig model is only £289 in the UK.
That's an incredible phone.
Yeah.
For two, even if you're just buying it to put all your media storage on and using it for a portable media player with camera.
Yeah.
It's not bad for £289.
I was worried because the CEO came out and said that it would definitely cost less than $450. And I was like,
That was a weird thing to say, and then the price be so low.
Yeah. I think there was a lot of rumours going around at the time that it was going to be nearly a $500 phone. And people were like kicking off because, it was all supposed to be about, cheapness. And
but drip feeding, stuff like that, always works better than announcing the price. So, but £229 for a 16 gig.
Yeah.
That is a good price for a phone.
Yeah.
For a flagship killer phone.
Yeah.
So that is a high-spec phone.
It is a high-spec phone, and they are really, really nice. The OnePlus One is really nice to use.
The build quality.
Yeah.
I find is very surprising because I really liked the build quality on the Nexus 5 because you hold the Nexus 5 and like, yes, it's a pretty good phone. It feels solid. In fact, the Moto G felt pretty solid as well.
Yeah, it did.
That felt really solid. And the OnePlus, when you hold that, it feels instant quality.
Yeah.
It feels like a very well-made phone.
I went caseless for a very long time just because of the black sandstone back.
Yeah, it's nice to hold that.
It is. And it kind of grips in your hand.
Yeah, it's textured.
Yeah, but after a while, that kind of because of the kind of texturing of it, it starts to kind of fill in with bits of nastiness that you've kind of accumulated in your pocket.
Yeah,
and it starts to get smoother, and you're like,
Maybe I'll slip a case on it rather than bring the phone.
But never mind.
So the Moto X range.
Yeah. So there's the style and the play.
In the US, there's only the style and the pure.
Right.
Right. So I believe the pure. Hang on, let me get this right, because we're so UK-based, aren't we? I think the pure is going to be an unlocked one, and then they're going to have a network one.
Right, that makes sense.
Whereas in the UK, we're going to have the play and the style.
Right.
So the style, we'll start with the style.
Okay. So, it's a 5.7-inch display.
So bigger than the OnePlus 2.
Yeah. Three different storage sizes, 16 gig, 32 gig and 64 gig. I'm not sure if you can expand the memory. It's not on the document.
I think
you
can on the play, so I imagine you probably can on the style.
Yeah. And that has got a Snapdragon 808 hexa-core. Processor, which 1.8 gigahertz.
That just 1.8 gigahertz just seems crazy, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does.
1.8 gig.
It's got 3 gig of RAM, and it's got the 3,000 milliamp hour battery, running Android Lollipop, 21 megapixel rear camera.
Impressive.
And then a 5 megapixel selfie one.
This has already had camera reviews.
Right.
DP review.
Okay.
They review this as a camera.
Wow.
And it ranks quite high.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I think it's actually having less artifacts and is better low light than the Samsung 6.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's supposed to be a really nice camera.
That was the first Android that had finally, apparently, got a decent camera.
Yeah.
So we're now only a few months on from that, and we're getting these phones that are better than the Samsung.
Yeah.
Pretty much half the price.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty close to half the price for this phone, and you're beating the Samsung.
There's no wonder they call them flagship killers.
Absolutely. I think that's why this mobile one is so appealing. We're all going to be able to go and buy it.
Yeah.
We don't need an invite. On release day, if you've got the money.
Oh, yeah.
And how much is it? Is it? That must be $359, isn't it?
Yeah, the...
For the 16 gig, we assume.
Yeah, $359. It says start sat, so I presume that's the 16 gig model.
$359... So now we're talking about a phone from a big scale manufacturer.
Yeah.
Again, it's running a very stock version of Android. Moto are quite good at software updates.
Yeah.
Because I've owned a Moto in the past. And obviously they're not as quick as Nexus.
No.
They're never going to be as quick as a Nexus device. But yeah, the updates are pretty good actually. They come out within a decent amount after the official patch.
Yeah.
So a well-supported phone. And we're talking £130 more. So is it worth £130 more? But it's bigger resolution on the camera, bigger, more megapixels. But we all know more megapixels doesn't mean better.
Nope.
Or that this is supposed to be a great camera. But one of the really cool things about this camera is that the flash on the back is balanced for skin tones and things. So it doesn't blow out the colours.
Yeah.
And it actually has a blue tint filter in the lens.
Yeah.
So the colours look more realistic to what we see.
Yeah, right.
Rather than artificial colours when you're not filtering off the light.
Does it really matter? They're all going in Instagram anyway.
Well, yeah. I suppose that is the main use for a camera on your phone.
Yeah.
Some people use as their main camera. In fact, I say some people. The majority
uses
their main camera.
I can't remember the last time I used a real camera. I honestly can't.
Oh, God, you know, that's a good point. When was the last time I pulled the trigger on a camera?
I think for me it was probably summer last year, but it was a digital camera, but the camera was putting such a red tint on the photos. Like when I was checking them on screen,
yeah.
I only took about two or three and then stopped. It was on a holiday and then used phone from that point on.
I haven't used a camera in a long, long time. It must be years.
Yeah.
Well, this is why the iPhone is the most popular camera on Flickr, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
No one's using real cameras anymore.
Yeah.
So, good phone, well supported. I would always highly recommend Motorola phone, and the fact you can just buy it.
Yeah,
you can buy it.
Yeah, they have been killing it recently. And then there's the Play, which is a slightly smaller phone. It's 5.5 inch,
but that makes it the same size as the OnePlus 2.
There's only a 16 gig and a 32 gig model. There isn't a 64 gig. Again, it doesn't say here whether you can expand the memory, but most
you can.
Yeah,
I read earlier on that you can go up to 128, so I imagine in the style as well.
Yeah, it's got a different processor. It's only an octa-core rather than a hexa-core.
Only.
Whatever that means. Less RAM, 2 gig of RAM. Again, it's running Android Lollipop. Bigger battery.
3,630
milliamp hours.
48 hours of use on that.
Yeah.
Draws me to it just for that.
Yeah. And then on the camera, it sounds the same to start with. It's 21 megapixel and 5 megapixel. However, it only records in 1080p, whereas on the Moto X style, it will record in 4K.
Oh, Neil. Only 1080p.
Only 1080p. I mean, what are you going to do?
Both of them have a really interesting thing on the camera for selfies. I don't doubt the selfies, but I know they're massive craze, aren't
they? Yeah.
There's no flash on the front, but it flashes the screen. But it's clever enough not to flash pure white, because that would blow out the colours.
That is clever.
So yeah, it slightly changes the colour to get better tones.
Yeah,
so that's a great use for not having a flash.
Yeah.
And obviously why they use a custom camera app. Yeah. Although a lot of people can do the custom camera, yeah. But that's definitely
I think a lot of phones do these days, because the Android ones are pretty basic.
You know, Google are actually trying to do a unified camera.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but everyone likes to put their own.
Yeah, you always get a little bit, don't you?
And you know what? If all the Android phones had the same quality camera, what much to choose from?
No.
You'd just go for the cheapest one?
Yeah, probably.
Cause especially if we just sit using Facebook, playing the odd game, and Instagram, yeah. You just get the cheapest one, wouldn't you?
Yeah, so the Play comes out a bit earlier than the Style. It comes out in August, the Style comes out in September. And the Style, the Play, sorry, starts at £299 for the 16 gig model.
It's also water resistant.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So if I was going to get one, I'd perhaps think about transitioning to that as my fitness tracking phone.
Yeah.
Because if you're out in the rain or you're sweating, and the fact that the battery lasts 48 hours, if I go for a run with my iPhone, I come home like, oh, I've got to charge it.
Yeah.
Not because the battery's flat, but I know there's no way I'm going to get beyond 1 or 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Because I've hammered the battery so much, whereas that, it'd last well, but then I would lose Apple Music and listen to Apple Music while I run. Why can't Apple just put a bigger battery in the phone?
Life is so difficult.
And terrible problems trying to choose between which
ridiculously expensive phone we want, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're not ridiculously expensive. My iPhone's ridiculously expensive. Oh, yeah. My iPhone, yeah. I got the 64 gig with Apple Care. So I think that puts it at 700.
Yeah. It's the fact that we all walk around on a daily basis with multiple hundreds of pounds in our pocket and don't think of anything
on it. I was heading down to London and I had my MacBook Air, my iPhone 6, an Android phone, and an iPad. I was thinking, how much money's worth in technology am I actually carrying here?
Yeah.
We do carry all... carry a very expensive device if we're into technology.
Yeah. And yeah,
we don't Apple even Watch think, as well.
Yeah.
Apple Watch.
Apple Watch, yeah.
Yeah.
And we don't think anything of it. It's just normal.
Oh, Apple Watch. I got to pay for something again.
Oh, wow.
In Starbucks. Paid for a coffee.
Amazing.
I was going to pay on the Underground, but I didn't.
To be honest, when are Google going to bring out their version of...
Oh, that reminds me. You can't use the fingerprint scanner, the OnePlus 2, for the payment.
Oh, right.
In the future.
In the future?
The way it's been made, it's not going
to
work.
So it's only to unlock the phone?
Yeah.
Huh.
Real shame.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world, but when you're actually introducing a fingerprint scanner, if all it's doing is unlocking your phone...
Yeah, it's a bit short-sighted.
Bit gimmicky.
Yeah.
But we all thought Touch ID is a bit gimmicky until all of a sudden it can do verification for... use it in the Apple Store as well. I went in to buy, again, my power usage problems with my iPhone. I was buying the micro USB to Lightning adapter.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, I'll pay on Apple Pay. In the Apple Store. But then... the clunkiest part of the process was when, can I have your email address
right.
for the receipt? And everyone always struggles with my email address. And I just thought, all right, I'll spell that out for you. And they say, and. Yeah, the word and is in there.
Yeah.
And, yes, A-N-D, and.
Yeah.
And it throws everyone.
Whenever anybody asks for my email address, I go, right, I'll spell it.
I have got my actual name as a .com.
Yeah.
So I should probably just hand that one out, but then no one knows how to spell my surname. No. I'll use my four-letter domain.
Yeah.
Because, that one's easy. Yeah. That's what I'll set it up as my prime email address, my four-letter domain. So which of the three do you think you're going to end up getting then, Neil?
I think you already know.
The OnePlus 2.
It's going to be the OnePlus 2. I'm really happy with the OnePlus 1. And, it just seems like a logical progression for me. And it's cheaper than
If you're going to go for the 16 gig, £229.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
It is ridiculous.
Can you expand a memory in the OnePlus?
You can't.
So you are limited just to that 16 gig.
Yeah, but I've had no problems with the 64 gig model I've got. And to be honest, whenever they give invites out, I don't think I've ever seen them give invites out for the 16 gig because the invites are phone specific.
Are they?
Yeah.
Also, when you get invites, you have to say what phone I'm going to get.
Well, when I got invites, they were all for 64 gig Black Sandstone.
That was probably a stocking issue.
Maybe.
Now, do you think you're going to perhaps now? Because I don't want to get an invite, then I've been assigned a 16 gigger.
Yeah.
I want the choice. I might buy the 16 gig, but I want the choice.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, it's a bit funny not getting the choice, but my invite was for the 64 gig and I was happy that it wasn't for the 16. But yeah, it was a bit of an odd one. I remember thinking, God, I'm really glad I didn't get the 16 gig invite.
I think for me, I'm tempted by them all. They've all got a feature I'm really interested in.
Yeah.
The OnePlus 2, great spec.
Yeah.
Phenomenal speed. And because I'm going to be running the in-testing invert colour mode,
yeah,
you need a very quick phone. So it would make sense for me to get the fastest phone,
yeah,
which would be the OnePlus 2. I also like having the really extended battery life, which means the play.
The play, yeah.
But then the even bigger style and the fact it's coming from Moto, it can shoot 4K.
Yeah.
But I think I'm getting to a price point then where I'm getting like, oh, it's a bit too much to spend.
It's a lot of money.
300 is my cut-off.
Yeah.
Anything above 300, I know it's only £59 to go to the 16 gig, but it's still £59 extra.
Yeah.
And £59 could be me getting to play another fitness tracker or something. So as interesting as the style is, because it's a secondary phone,
yeah,
I can't warrant spending over 300.
No.
I can't really justify it. So I thought maybe it's a choice between now, talk myself into the play, or the OnePlus 2, but I do like the circle gesture of the OnePlus 2.
Yeah.
Oh, let's face it, I'm going to buy the OnePlus 2 and then sell it if I don't get on with it and get a play.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's what I always do with any technology. Talking about fitness trackers, you've got your Pebble working now, haven't you?
Yes, yeah. After almost 3 weeks, Pebble finally got back to me with instructions on how to put the watch into recovery mode.
How is that not on the internet?
I don't know. I'd searched for it. Maybe I was using the wrong term or whatever, but I could not find...
Even with a term that's close to that,
yeah,
you would hope you'd get it
in a search. Yeah, I did search. I got nothing back, but I got instructions how to put it in recovery mode, and that's fixed it. So I've got my Pebble back working, which is good, because I was really peed off that I got this... I do like the Pebble a lot, so it was really annoying that A, it wasn't working, and B, it was just sat there without me being able to do anything, whether that was send it back, sell it, whatever.
The Steel starts shipping soon, the Pebble Time Steel.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, in the next couple of weeks.
It's not getting good reviews, though, the Pebble Time at all, really.
Really?
Yeah, people saying that if you got the option, just get the Pebble, because it does everything that the Pebble does, but with a worse screen, because the viewing angle is just really bad.
The original Pebble now must be pretty cheap.
I don't know, to be honest.
Pull it up on Amazon. How much is on Amazon?
I bought the Pebble Steel on a deal about 6 months ago, maybe, and it was £125 for the Steel.
No, the Time.
Oh, for the
Time. Yeah.
What?
You've got the Pebble Time, haven't you?
No.
Oh, you've got the original Pebble Steel.
I've got the original Pebble Steel.
Oh, right, okay. I thought you had the Pebble Time.
Yeah. No, the Time's just coming out, really, isn't it?
No, the Time's out. The Time's Steel.
Yes. But the Time's not been out that long.
Oh, no, that's why I assumed you had the Time. I thought you had the Time, not the
No. I bought this before the Time came out. So I'm looking for Pebble. Dun, dun, this is exciting.
It is. Real time. Dun, 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 dun. Fast internet needed.
Yeah, tell me about it. You're looking at about £100.
£100 still?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I drop £100 on it. You can get the Fitbit Charge HR for less than that.
Pebble Steel's still looking about £150.
God, you got it for a good deal then, didn't you?
Yeah, it was I don't know how long the offer ran for, but it was in store at 02. It was for
125. I'd still have to put the Fitbit Charge HR at the top of the fitness tracking for me then.
I couldn't, just because it caused me pain.
That's because you're a big guy, you've got big wrists.
Well, maybe.
I've got very little wrists. So I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Right, so have you got any little stories you want to add on to the end? Or
little stories? I don't think I have this week, really. There's been so much mobile phone news that all I've been reading is mobile... interesting point, comes back to the mobile phone bit.
Okay.
I read a lot of Apple blogs.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've seen the Apple blogs talking about the flagship killer Androids.
Yeah.
Everyone's comparing the iPhone now to the OnePlus 2 and the Moto X style.
Right.
They've never done that in the past. Or never so blatantly and never so, look, the iPhone is best because of this. But the points they're raising are so minimal.
Yeah.
That we're finally at a point where, for absolutely less than half the price of an iPhone,
you can get a comparable phone.
You get a comparable phone. The thing you're not getting, of course, is the Apple ecosystem. How deep are you into the ecosystem?
Yeah.
I can't really exit the ecosystem easily now.
No, I think the fact that I own an iPad, I've kind of still got a toe in. And I feel like, because I spent, I had iPhones for years and obviously spent quite a bit of money over the years on apps. The fact that I've still got the iPad means that it's not money completely wasted. I've still got my toe in. I can still use some of those apps. I don't know. I feel kind of better for being out of it. I don't know why. I just do. But I do like Android a lot.
It's just good to see some great competition.
Yeah.
At a phenomenal price. And even Samsung now, with their profits for the past quarter, have said they've got to reduce the price.
Yeah.
Of their six.
But Apple themselves won't acknowledge it. They'll double down on the whole, we are a premium device.
Well, what? They've got 92% of the profits in the market and 20% of the market share.
Yeah.
They're not worried.
Not exactly running scared.
Apple will say they're targeting a totally different demographic.
Yeah.
Which is probably true. And it's the ecosystem. How can Android challenge Apple's ecosystem now? Apple are now in the media production game.
Yeah.
With Apple Music.
True. But that is coming to Android.
It is coming to Android, but it won't be as integrated as it is on the iPhone. You'll be able to listen to the music, you just won't get the integrated experience. But then, fair enough, you put it to Android, but they're still getting the money for you using it on Android.
Well, yeah. The point is, you're not missing out on it.
No, you're not missing out on it. It's whether you could ever get Google Now to interact with Apple Music.
Google Now is so good, though.
That's one of the reasons I want an Android phone.
Yeah.
To play with Google Now.
And speaking of which, the little story I was going to add was the fact that now you can use Google Now to dictate messages for a few different messaging apps, the biggest one being WhatsApp, so you can dictate a text message through Google Now.
Are they going to open up so you can record an audio message and send the audio? That would be cool.
At the minute, it's just transcribing, but that would be really cool if you could do that as well, so you didn't even have to really open your phone up particularly. You could literally just go, okay, Google.
I was hoping to do that for the Apple Watch if they ever got a WhatsApp app.
Yeah.
WhatsApp app sounds WhatsApp app.
It's a dumb name, and it always has been, but they cannot change it now. It's too ingrained in society, unfortunately.
But Google Now is so good.
Yeah.
So good. I actually wish there was an Amazon Echo version.
Yeah.
Because I was tempted to buy a Nexus 7, plug it into the mains, just wall mount it, run a clock on it. You know, so it's just a big clock face. Just so you could say, okay, Google.
Yeah.
Watch the clock. Okay, Google, make an appointment, da 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 da. I want a standalone device that is my virtual assistant, a digital assistant, should I say.
Ooh, I had a quick play around with the Google Maps timeline.
Oh, to see where you'd been.
Yeah, and it got the whole US trip.
Really?
My trip to Dublin, my holiday to Wales last year, and then just obviously loads of stuff concentrated around where I live and work. But
yeah,
it was really cool just to see things. And you can like select a date and it'll show you the route that you took on that date.
Really?
Yeah. So
I was running an Android phone during that period.
Yeah.
Oh, so if I check it out,
yeah,
all that should be there.
Yeah, it's at google.com/maps/timeline.
I'm going to have to look at that.
Check out your mapping history, which some people find creepy. I thought it was cool.
I was using an Android phone, I think, when I was out in San Fran as well.
Oh, really? So that'd be cool then.
So I'll have San Fran,
yeah,
Barcelona, and then the American trip.
Yeah. It is kind of nice looking at the like the world map as where it starts, or it did for me, I suppose. If you've only got UK-based stuff, it might not. But looking at the world map and seeing like a huge concentration of dots in the UK,
yeah,
a little bit in Ireland, and then that strip along the coast in the US of dots just looked really, really cool. And then zooming in and seeing all the locations.
That is cool.
And it's absolutely crazy. Like there's looking at it on one particular day, I remember, and you know, myself actually remember it, and just being like, well, yeah, but how does it, obviously it must be some kind of time-based thing, but how long did you spend in that location? But it's literally like, yeah, I went there, but I know that on my way there I stopped and talked to somebody for a minute, but
yeah,
then carried on. And it's not got somewhere in the middle of the street, but it's got the locations that I went to on that day. And it's just, it's crazy how well it worked.
Yeah, that is impressive. It impresses me rather than scares me.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They're tracking me.
Yeah, yeah. And at the end of the day, they're probably the least scary company out there tracking you, or organisation.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I thought it was cool anyway. But I think that about wraps it up for this week.
Yeah, definitely.
If you do want to get in touch with us, we have got the Twitter account, which is Enthusiast Tech on Twitter.
Or comment on the blog, or
comment on the blog. Yeah, we are going to try and get RSS stuff sorted out and iTunes stuff sorted out at some point in the future. So bear with us, we're getting there. But for now, it's goodbye from me, Neil.
And it's goodbye from me, Simon.
See you next week.